Praise the Lord. Cool. It's on. Good morning, Jackie. Hope you're loving beautiful downtown Lampasas, Texas. We miss you up here. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's our first sunny day we've had in 10. It's only the second day it's not raining in those 10. But it is special, and it is a day the Lord has made. We want to talk. So you heard Debbie. We want to talk this morning about discipleship. Now, on the front of the bulletin, the picture on the front of the bulletin is a person sitting up with crane-style kung fu, which, if properly done, there is no defense, according to Mr. Miyagi. Those who remember the Karate Kid from 1984, not the more recent version, but the one with Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita, if that's the proper pronunciation. I know what it looks like. I wanted to talk about discipleship. And the reason I put that picture, or had Deb put that picture on the front of the bulletin, is because it brought back some memories. It brought back some thoughts as we're thinking about discipleship. And as Ralph Macchio playing Daniel, I don't remember his last name in the movie. It was 1984. It was a couple of years ago. Is being beaten up by neighborhood kids, and he wants to learn to fight. And Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, agrees to teach him in kung fu. And the first thing he has is wax the car, or wax the floor, wax the car. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. So after he gets the car waxed, then he has to do something to scrub the floor. Then he has to paint the fence and all of these things. And the kid is like, I asked you to teach me kung fu and all you're doing is having me work. I want to talk about discipleship in that what God is doing may not be evident from our own perspective. God, I want you to make me more like Jesus. Okay. Let's see if we can't get you a little persecution. That'll help. Lord, I want patience. Oh, yeah. We can deal with this. God, I'm asking you to do all these things, and all you're doing is allowing these things to come in my life. And just like Mr. Miyagi, show me wax on. Yeah, on Daniel's very gently just... You know, nonchalantly and like, no. Whew. Wax on. Wax off. You know? Paint the fence. Because the things that were happening in the movie, the actions that he was taking were actually building up muscle memory to do things that he was going to need in the future. As we are wanting to be disciples of Jesus, the things that we go through and the things that we learn, the things that we endure are equipping us for what is still to come. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. That's how the book of Matthew ends. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, and I'm sending you. Go make disciples. So whatever we go through in this life, whatever we go through on our road to being a disciple of Jesus, is to, for the purpose of teaching other people. For the purpose of demonstrating to other people who Jesus is. That means we need to be like Jesus. That means we need to know what the things the Lord has said. He says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Well, how are we going to teach people to observe all that the Lord has commanded us if we don't study to know what the Lord has commanded us? And how are we going to teach it if we're just breezing through, if we're just doing wax on, wax off? not being intentional about what it is that we do. Discipleship is following with the purpose of being like the teacher. A disciple is one who follows a teacher, one who desires to be like and to get to know and understand what it is that is being taught. But it's not just to be a student, perpetual student. It is to become one who can then share that information on. So as Jesus says, tells the disciples to go and make disciples. These are the people that have been following him for 3.5 years. After 3.5 years of being with Jesus, after three and a half years of studying and understanding, trying to understand Jesus teaching him continually, he says, now I'm sending you out. And your job is to go make disciples. Each and every one of us, as we come to the Lord, each and every one of us, as we turn away from our old ways, we recognize that the things I was doing in my life, the things you were doing in your life, was making a mess. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? Amen. Each and every one of us have made a mess of our lives. I don't have to be prophetic. I don't have to go over your life with a fine-tooth comb to say you made a mess of your life. Because we're imperfect people in a fallen world amidst other people that are imperfect. We make mistakes. We fall. We make a mess. And we need Jesus each and every day. Because our very best, the very best we can do, the very best we've ever done, still falls short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. But he's at work in us to lead us and to teach us. We talked about the grace, not only to go through things, but the grace also to get up and to keep going. When we fall, there's still grace. When we are overwhelmed by our circumstances, there's still grace. Because God is still working in us, each and every one. Yet we're being called to share what we've already been given with the people around us. Not to be satisfied or comfortable with where we are, but to share what we've been given so far to encourage and help other people along the way. That's why the Bible says that the whole body is fitly joined together and is strengthened by that each joint supplies. So as we work with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we encourage one another, we strengthen one another. Scripture talks about iron sharpening iron, like the countenance of a friend, the person who can get into your face and rebuke you, hey, you're doing this wrong. Or also get into your face and say, hey, you've done a great job in this area. Let's walk on into this. Oh, there's some areas here that we have to struggle. Let's work together. Keep me accountable. I'll keep you accountable. These kind of things are working in the body of Christ to strengthen us, but also to equip us to share that with other people. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 23. Now when he, that is Jesus, got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Jesus is getting in a... Anybody ever been to Israel besides me? Okay. The Sea of Galilee, where this happens, is 8 foot wide, or eight miles wide. A real small sea. 8 miles wide, 12 miles long. But it sits down in the middle of mountains. So when the wind comes over the mountains and comes down, it's not a big body of water, but it can be a rough body of water. But you don't have to worry about, the only time you can't see the other side is when it's dark and there's no lights, or there's a big storm so that visibility is cut down. But it's 8 miles by 12 miles. It's not a huge, it's not even a good sized lake. But for that area, it's huge. But here they are. They're in the middle of the boat. The storm has come up. Jesus is asleep. Do we ever find ourselves in situations where it seems like the world is falling apart around us and Jesus doesn't care? He's not paying any attention. Does that happen in anybody's life? It happens in everybody's life. Lord, what's going on? Lord, I don't understand. Father, I've tried to be obedient. I've tried to do what you've called me to do. I've done everything I know to do. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to be a light. I'm trying to be a witness, and things are just falling apart all around me. Jesus is still right there. Notice the first thing he did when they woke him up. Why are you fearful? We're not always going to understand what is going on as we become a disciple of Christ. As we continue on to be a disciple of Christ. We're not always going to understand the things that are happening. We're not always going to understand why things don't work out the way we thought they ought to. You know, maybe we have this and kind of a program in our mind about the way things are going to happen. You know, we come to the Lord and we come to the Lord a mess and we say, Lord, take it and fix it. And we say, okay, cool. Okay, good, because I got a golf game later this afternoon. I need to fix now. And it doesn't work out on our schedule. Or, you know, Lord, I thought you were going to have taken care of this. Is it Casting Crowns has a song, I Will Praise You in the Storm. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away and stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. It's still a storm. It's still a turmoil. It's still a problem. We trust God in the midst of the storm, but we really, really, really want him to stop the storm, don't we? We really, really, really want it to be all better. The question is, are we willing to follow God, or are we willing to be a disciple even when everything seems to be falling apart? Even when we, like the disciples say, Lord, save us, we are perishing. There's another, I think it's the same instance, but it's in another gospel. It says, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Lord, why haven't you fixed this yet? In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the turmoil, we trust that God is going to teach us, but the way things are going don't appear to be the way we would like them to go. Mr. Miyagi, I asked you to teach me karate, and all you're doing is having me wax your car, clean your floor, and paint the fence. You're not doing what I thought you were going to be doing. God is doing what he said he was going to do, even when it doesn't look like it to our eyes, because we're only seeing a little sliver of the things that are going on. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, Paul, talking to Timothy, says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, you're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some difficulties. You're going to go through some hardships. Just be willing to do it. Because God is doing things we don't understand. God is working in us in ways that we haven't got our mind wrapped around yet. How many times have we looked in the past, or looked in retrospect, and see how God was doing some remarkable things, but in the middle of it, it didn't make any sense at all. Verse 9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Remember that God sees the end from the beginning? That David said, Lord, all of my days were written in your book before ever any of them were. Remember, as we've talked about God answering prayers before we even ask, and look at some of the things that have gone on in our lives to set up the circumstance where something could be answered. I think you've heard me talk about when Deb and I were coming back from Missouri and worried about the weather around the Great Lakes and praying and couldn't get any information. Then all of a sudden, we ran into this person who told us, you're right here. The person didn't tell us your rights here. Okay, just throw it. God bless you. Talk to you later. So we ran into the person who told us about the weather, and we started looking at what it took to have that person right there at that time meeting us, what sort of provision God made, because that was 10 hours away from here. So they had to travel at least 10 hours to get there. But they were going to visit their son who'd moved to Cincinnati 4 years before. So then God had to put the son there 4 years before to have him, you know. So how far in advance has God been at work in our circumstances? If we trust him, when we're following him, if we're seeking his face, if we're determined to be his disciple, we are not always going to understand. In fact, we're not normally going to understand why God is doing what he's doing. But if we look in retrospect, we can see God's hand at work doing some remarkable things in our lives. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord, by our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. For that reason also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, that the good thing which was committed to you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Contrast that with the disciples. Jesus gets in the boat with them and they start heading out and a storm comes up. Lord, don't you care that we perish? Lord, we're perishing. Save us. Paul says, my circumstances don't matter. Now granted, Paul is much, much, much farther along his walk at this point talking to Timothy than the disciples were on chapter 8 of Matthew. And as we go through more and more things, if we go through and see God's grace and mercy and provision and protection, more and more, we get to the point where we trust God more and more. That's part of growing and learning to be a disciple. And that's also part of encouraging other people. Not discounting what they're going through. Not discounting their fears, their lack of understanding. But saying, I understand. I've been there. Believe me, I know. Yet I have found that God is faithful. So in Matthew 28, which we started with, Jesus said, sent the disciples out to go and make disciples. I've equipped you. I've done these things in you. Now your purpose is to go and share this. Your purpose is to go and be a light. Your purpose is to go and impact other people. And because of what Jesus did some over 2,000 years ago and sending out the disciples and the way he has been shown himself faithful all through the years has had an impact in each and every one of our lives, and it has a part of the reason why we're here today. Because we know and are persuaded that which we have committed unto him, he is able to keep. And yes, we are still learning. Yes, we are still growing. Yes, we are still being disciples on our own, which means we haven't outgrown the need to learn to be more like Jesus. We haven't outgrown the need to study. We haven't outgrown the need to pray. We haven't outgrown the need to cry out to the Lord, Lord, continue to work in me and change me. Make me more like Jesus. Teach me patience. Jesus, Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. We don't say, Lord, I want to suffer. We say, Lord, help me to be obedient. Well, this is how you get there. There's a passage in I think it's 1 Peter, one of the Peter, 1st or 2nd Peter, where it says, tribulation works patience, patience works experience, experience works hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. Now, anytime I read that verse, I always get the picture of a bunch of gears working together, you know, where you have a little bitty motor turning a great big gear. Tribulation. Which works, the smaller gear? Tribulation works patience, works experience, works hope. The things, all of this working together takes a whole lot of tribulation to get to one notch on the patience, a whole lot of patience to get to the notch on experience, and a whole lot of experience to get to the notch on hope. That's just how it is in my mind. Whatever it looks like in your mind is, you know, between you and God and your own understanding. But what I'm saying is, God is doing things in us that we don't necessarily cry out to Lord to go through the things that we need to go through. We are looking for the outcome. Lord, help me to love like Jesus. Okay, not a problem. Think about that. Think that one through a little bit. He was mocked. He was beaten. He had his beard ripped out. Crown of thorns shoved upon his head. Was crucified. Help me to love like Jesus. What did Jesus go through to get to where he was? What did Jesus go through to display God's love to the people around us? Well, Lord, I just want the outcome. I don't want the path to get there. But that path to get there is part of discipleship, is part of learning to be like Jesus. Not that any of us are anxious for any of the things that Jesus went through, but we all want to display God's love to the people around us. And it's so many times we cannot do that without more pressure, without more turmoil, without our faith being purified, without our lives being tested, without going through things. Matthew 10, beginning with verse 21. Jesus talking about the latter days. He says, now brother will deliver up brother to death and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant to be like his master. For if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they cause those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for as there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Jesus says, you're going to go through things. You're going to be accused. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be pushed from house to house. You're going to have difficult times. And when it gets overwhelming in one place, go to another place. He doesn't say, stop. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. But continue doing the things that we're called to do. Sharing the love of God. Being a blessing. Calling out. Displaying God's grace to people. We're called to do that. Jesus talking here. We're called to do that, each and every one of us. Because if they treated Jesus horribly, why would we be surprised if we go through difficult times? We have brothers and sisters in other countries who are persecuted daily. Many of them put to death, thrown in prison, beaten, have everything confiscated because they love Jesus. At this point, this is not happening in this country. But there's a poor little a little sheriff's department. I think it's in Texas, and they have a patch on their outfit, on their uniform that says God and Country. And there's a group in, I think they're out of Minnesota, Michigan, Freedom From Religion Foundation, you've heard of them, who sent a letter demanding that be removed because it promotes belief in God over non-belief, and therefore sets up that people who don't believe in God are expected to be treated as second-class citizens. An attack on Christianity, attack on belief. We see this every year. Every time some town wants to put up a nativity scene in the town park, this group gets involved. There's so many things happening. And all over the country, little things happening to show that a belief in God is not something desirable. A belief in God is the antithesis of society. These things are happening all over the place. Right now, we don't get physically persecuted for our faith. But we see things happening that could very well go that direction. Jesus says, the disciple is not above his teacher, nor the servant his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Are we willing to be a disciple no matter what our circumstances look like? Are we willing to follow Jesus when it's unpopular? Are we willing to follow Jesus when it's difficult? Are we willing to share the love of God with people who get in our face? Are we willing? Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. As we follow God, as we trust the Lord, as we follow Jesus, as we go through this life trying to be lights, trying to be ambassadors of Christ, trying to show the love of God to the people around us, it is not always going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of difficulties along the way. And sometimes it's not going to make any sense at all to us. Sometimes we're just thinking, God, what in the world are you doing? God, I was sure by now you would have straightened this out. God, I was sure by now you would have guided me through this. But I'm still here. I'm still going through it. It's still difficult. Lord, I thought I was done with this temptation already. Why is it coming back up? Whatever it is, whatever keeps coming up, God is still at work in us. Final passage, 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 1, says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. In other words, as you have been a disciple and I have been sharing who God is with you, as I've been sharing the grace and love of Jesus Christ with you, you've learned these things. Make sure you share it with others who can then share it with others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So, 85? Back about 1985. My house got broken into. And my then girlfriend, now ex-wife, was in an absolute panic. My roommates were in an absolute panic. And there was a storm coming, and my ship had an emergency recall. And everybody was to go to the ship. The ship was to get out of harbor because the hurricane was coming and the ship could not endure the hurricane sitting next to the port. And I shut off my phone and went to the hardware store and got new locks and rushed back. Rushed back to the house, replaced the locks. I got back onto the pier, got back to the base, got back to the pier. They had already removed the brow. That's the ramp that goes from the stairs to the ship. They had already pulled it off. But they set it back down, and I ran across. I'd had to leave my family. I'd had to leave the other people living in the house. I had done everything that I could do because I didn't have an option. I had to be on that ship. And almost missed it. And had I missed ship's movement, that was a huge, huge payment. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. I had an obligation to the people living in my house, but I had a higher obligation to the Navy. I had to be on that ship when it left. And I had to leave family terrified because the house had been broken into. There are a lot of circumstances like that where I'd have to leave. I would have to go because I had an obligation. I had a higher obligation. I had a responsibility that I could not shrug off. I had something to do that I could not get out of. Paul, talking to Timothy, says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. There are things that will happen in your walk with Jesus, in your quest for discipleship as you want to be more and more like Jesus and draw closer to him. There are things that are going to happen that are going to be difficult. The Bible tells us that a passage we just read a minute ago, that brother turning against brother, father against son, children against their parents. These things happen. These things happen to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. It's not that unusual or not that incredible that it could happen in our own lives. Yet we have a call. We have a burden on our heart to follow the Lord no matter what's going on. We have a choice. But if we have committed our lives to Him, if we are drawing close to Him and getting closer to Him, sometimes things are not going to be pleasant. Sometimes things are not going to be easy to deal with. And sometimes it's going to look like God is not even listening. The disciples in the boat, don't you care that we're perishing? Lord, why haven't you taken care of this? And God is still at work. He is still at work in us. Verse 5, and also if one competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. A hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Paul telling Timothy, as we put our focus on God, these other things, we have to, in some cases, turn our back on other things that are going on. Turn away from other concerns because we have a higher priority, we have a higher concern. And as we do that, as we walk this out, that God will give us the understanding, God will give us the direction. But the very goal from the start, where we first started in Matthew 28, Jesus said to go and make disciples and to go and to teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. So we are not in this walk of discipleship just to learn. We are in this walk of discipleship to learn it to the point where we can share it with others, to share what we have already been given, as we become disciples of Christ, we also make disciples of Christ by sharing what God has already brought us through. God doesn't waste anything. The things we go through in this life, difficult though they may be, become an illustration of God's grace. Now I guarantee you, in a very short while, Deb and I are going to be talking, and she's going to say, I never knew anything at all about that. About that having to, them having to put the brow back down. Because she always hears things, she's like, we've been married almost 18 years. We've been together for 20. And things come up that I hadn't thought about. Yet, in the midst of it, God brings things back into our lives. God brings things back into our memory that we can share, that we can impart, that we can illustrate to show that God knows exactly what He's doing and He hasn't wasted anything. So in our push for discipleship, we are going to go through some difficult times. We are going to go through some unpleasant times. We are going to go through some times of joy. We are going to go through some times of celebration. We are going to go through a wide range of things. And God doesn't waste any of it, but in each and every one is something that we can share and impart and encourage our brothers and sisters. As we not only pursue discipleship for ourselves, but also to make disciples of Jesus Christ by the people we encounter, the people that we share with. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We know, Father, that Your Word never returns void, but it always does that You've sent it forth to do. So, Lord, we just give glory, honor, and praise. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.